Thank you. Today's conference is now being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may now begin.
Fantastic. So welcome, everybody. This is a meeting requested by Claudio to help fill in the IEC group on the high security zone top-level domain program. And the current plan for today's meeting is to keep it relatively high-level. And sort of background and informational focus. To do that, I've selected the Nairobi presentation material that the advisory group put together for Nairobi because it represents a very good background on the program and what the program's trying to accomplish and some of its principles and so forth. The program is made up of a lot of different individuals, some of whom are on the call today. I see Mike Pelage, John McElwain. There may be one or two others. I can't see full names necessarily of everyone on. But they are members of the High Security Zone Top-Level Domain Advisory Group, and I believe also members of the IPC. So even your own group, you've got some really great representation. And, in fact, Mike Pelage is actually one of our co-chairs. So he really helps steer and guide and run the program, and has been a heavy participant since its real inception. Okay, let me see if I can turn the page here. There we go. So the High Security Zone program, what is it? The goal statement that the High Security Zone advisory currently is using is that the goal of the High Security Zone top-level domain advisory group bring together community representatives to evaluate the viability of a voluntary program supporting control standards and incentives that could potentially be adopted to provide an enhanced level of trust and security over the baseline registration authority controls. In general, it's designed to provide a structured approach to improve Internet community and trust through the TLD program, and it's designed to help improve overall security of domains registered within TLDs that volunteer to participate. In its current form, it's very focused on IT operational controls and IT controls behind a TLD, and is originally sort of a part of malicious answering malicious conduct issues within ICANN. The advisory group also has a problem statement. The problem statement is sort of where the goals rose out of, but it's generally the general problem that we're trying to tackle. And it is that certain individuals and organizations have sought to exploit vulnerabilities in the DNS technology and the business practices of certain registration authorities for inappropriate and or illegal purposes. The exploitation of these vulnerabilities has threatened the security and stability of the Internet and negatively impacted the trust users have when using the Internet. So that's sort of the background statement of the problem. And within that statement, there are several interested parties. Number one, registrants would like to be sure that when they register doesn't get hijacked through registrar or registry or their own account compromise. That includes DNS, WIS, et cetera. Registrars would like to be able to give reasonable guarantees to registrants that, number one, won't happen because they have controls. So in order to do so, they require both registrant and registry cooperation, and that's kind of an interesting spin on the look of controls. We'll get into that a little bit later, but what that spin sort of talks about is the chain of controls throughout the TLD community. And in its current state, in its most current state, there are four principles. We'll talk a little later in the program about them, but they cover those different layers of the chain within the TLD. That brings us to number three. Registries are also like number one, and this requires cooperation of registrant and registrar. So you can see it's very cooperation-focused behind the major constituencies in the TLD. Finally, end users would like to know that when they type in a given domain name or navigate from a bookmark, that they go to the right domain and that DNS hasn't been hijacked. End users would also like to understand that a domain name registered within a particular gTLD is subject to registration standards, policies, and procedures that are aimed at reducing malicious conduct by such registrants. So that's sort of the big problem that we're trying to take a little sliver of helping to solve. I'm going to stop there for a second. Does anyone have any questions on the goal or the problem statement? Okay, we'll keep moving along. And I'll keep this as interactive as possible over a remote session. I know it's kind of difficult. I can't see when people are sort of squirming around, raising their hands. But feel free to sort of bust in, if you will, and ask questions as we go. And certainly at the end, we'll have a larger QA session. So within the HSCLD, who might volunteer? And this is a question, sort of it's more of a theory question. And obviously, there's no specific study to back it up. But the thought is, CLD operators wishing to establish and advertise an established control environment might want to volunteer, and TLD operators that do not wish to advertise a control environment but wish to build an internal control model based on community standards. So that's an interesting distinction. So there's two things. The first one is obvious. It's sort of the operators that are wanting to prove that they've got a good control environment. So they'll take the mechanism of proof that the HSTLD program would potentially provide and be able to prove that, yes, they've got a fantastic control environment and controls are in their TLD and they're operating effectively. Second one is interesting because it's not necessarily about the proof of a control environment, but the very fact that the High Security Zone Advisory Group is publishing the list of controls. So we'll see again a little bit later in the presentation the principles, objectives, supporting controls structure that the High Security Zone AG is creating is being created by the advisory group. So by virtue of that being created by the community and managed by the community through the AG, and it's publicly available. So it provides sort of a great little basis for community standards of what might be considered good controls within the TLD, which today doesn't exist. Okay. So, Andy, what are the origins of the advisory group? Where did this come into play? And just to give everyone a very quick background, I don't go back to the beginning of the origins of the program. I became involved round about the initial concept paper. In fact, ICANN asked me to help them build the initial concept paper for the High Security Zone top-level domain. Focusing on security controls is sort of overall part of the ICANN new TLD process. So there's a theme of security and control sort of permeated that process to date. Back in applicant guidebook number 2 and from comments during and after the Sydney meeting, the financial services community and numerous SAC reports highlighted the general desire for security controls, right? That sort of drove, I think, the request for in applicant guidebook 3 to build an initial concept paper about a program designed to provide a model for a higher security zone verification program. And that's sort of where I became involved. I helped ICANN build that real straw man early development model of what something might look like. There was a good amount of interest around that. So in November of 2009, there was a call for volunteers to serve on an advisory group and to continue in developing the sort of concept paper that was released. And the tasks that the advisory group were really pursuing are to continue to develop or improve upon the concepts that were introduced in the original concept paper, and we've made quite a lot of progress since the original concept paper. We're to gather community input and feedback on the proposed program, to identify issues with the program. Certainly there are many of those. Propose potential solutions to the issues. And then finally, create recommendations paper. And that sort of morphed into a program development model that we're using now of snapshot releases. So, Claudia, to your point, I guess, last week, for those of you that didn't see the email, one of the things Claudio really wanted to do is get this group together before public comments on the current snapshot close on the 8th, which is 2 days from now. And in our current sort of development model, we're trying to roughly release development snapshots roughly every month or so. It's not a set in stone deliverable for us. But what we're trying to do is sort of get our current development pulled together in one central location for either public comment or for just Leafly AG. And the first one is the one that we have up for public comment now. So who are the members of the advisory group? We've got all sorts of different people that are either direct members or have been participating directly or indirectly or occasionally. Registries, registrars, security companies, financial institutions, some participation by law enforcement, legal professionals, just general knowledgeable individuals, and, of course, ICANN staff and the co-chairs. So there's Mike Falaise up there. He is one of our main co-chairs, and Christophe Revered as well is a co-chair. And together, they really provide the backbone of the program and from a week-to-week basis help us manage it. So what are the key components of the program? Really, there are three buckets right now that we're talking about. There's the control standards, the potential for how we might demonstrate that controls are at a TLD and active, and then finally, there's the publication of participating TLDs. The control standards are defined through principles, objectives, criteria, and illustrative controls. We actually have, in current development, a good draft of that entire structure. It's up on the HSTLD wiki page for public review. The wiki page I have a link to at the end of this presentation, and I would encourage people to sort of take a look up there every so often, because as we're building material for the program, we as advisory group members are using the wiki page as one of the main portals to our development activities. So if you really want like latest, greatest development work, you just look on the wiki page and you can see sort of where we are in our development. Now, the disclaimer that I'll put out is just because you see things on the wiki page doesn't necessarily mean that the items that are up there will make it to a final version if and when there ever is a final version. So that's a massive disclaimer. But what I'm trying to say is it really is purely a development workspace for us. And some of the ideas that we are putting forward will not obviously make it to the final version or final version if one comes about. The control standards, as we talked about before, are established through the efforts of the advisory group, and they are available for review and comment. Around the demonstration of controls, that concept really is sort of how does a TLD demonstrate that they've got a control environment up and operational. The original concept paper talked about the concept of a certification seal, so some kind of seal that could be displayed publicly either on a web page or through some other mechanism that a TLD that passed all of the control environments would be able to obtain from some authoritative source. That concept was expanded early on in the advisory group to include another possible option called the report card option. The two aren't necessarily mutually exclusive, but they're very interesting in how they sort of accomplish the public recording of who has what controls within a TLD. I'll get into a little bit more specificity on each of them in the coming slides. And then finally, how do we publish the participating TLDs? That's sort of an open component too, because we want to make sure that if a TLD does go through this program, it's published and available as an authoritative source that people can go to look at to see, yep, that TLD is HSTLD report carded or certified or whatever the model is. We talked a little bit about this already. So the control standards are presented and they're being evaluated by the AG. They're defined through principles, objectives, criteria, and illustrative controls. They provide a foundation to the program. And the current draft, as we talked about, really talks about the chain of registry, registrar, and registrant. The control standards are broken into principles. There were originally three in the concept paper. There are now four. And I'll very quickly go through them because they are so important. But they provide sort of the background that we hang all of the control objectives and controls off of. So each control objective and supporting control structure falls under one of the four of the principles. The first principle is all about the registry maintaining effective controls to provide reasonable assurance that the security, availability, and confidentiality of systems and information assets supporting critical registry IT and business operations are maintained by performing the following. defining and communicating performance objectives, policies, and standards for system and information asset security, availability, confidentiality, and privacy. Utilizing procedures, people, software, data, and infrastructure to achieve defined objectives in accordance with established policies and standards, and monitoring the system and information assets and taking action to achieve compliance with the defined objectives, policies, and standards. So that's sort of principle number one about the registry. Principle number two and three talk a little bit more. The registry maintains effective controls to provide reasonable assurance that the processing of core registry functions are authorized, accurate, complete, and performed in a timely manner in accordance with established policies and standards. The identity of participating entities is established and authenticated. Principle number three is the registry shall maintain effective controls to provide reasonable assurance that the processing of core registrar functions by its registrars are authorized, accurate, complete, and performed in a timely manner in accordance with established policies and standards. And the identity of participating entities is established and authenticated. So you can see they're very similar, but the scope is very different. One registrar-focused, one registrar-focused. And then finally, we get down the chain to the registrants. So registrants in a high-security zone are expected to maintain current security information and to commit to refrain from activities designed to confuse or mislead the Internet public. So that little body really forms the existing four principles. Work continues on the evaluation and development of these, as well as the objectives, criteria, and illustrative controls. And again, that's all, the current drafts are all up on the wiki. The next bucket is, so how do we demonstrate that controls are active? You know, the demonstration of control provides a basis for TLDs to participate in the program. We've talked about the current models. There are advantages and disadvantages of each model, and the models are not mutually exclusive. Certification we talked a little bit about, so I'll kind of skip over this a little bit. But basically, it's from the original concept paper. It establishes controls necessary to achieve certification. In order to have a certification, we have to have some concept of approved assessors to measure the certification controls and to provide a control assessment report to the entity granting a seal. A seal should be available and published for community advertisement and review. And finally, the concept of a regular reassessment of the controls by the approved assessor would be necessary to maintain the quality of the seal. The report card concept we didn't talk about as much, so I'll spend a little bit more time here. This was recently introduced by the AG itself. And the thought is that registry operators would have an ability to self-assess implementation of control standards. Within that, the report card would really be a matrix of HSTLD control standards against the participating registry operators. And each control of the HSTLD would be graded by the operators. And the current thinking is there'd be sort of a blank, green, yellow, a blank, red, yellow, half green, and full green type of matrix. The blank would be no answer as to whether the control existed or not within a TLD. A red would be that there was a control failure or a reported failure of a control, or one of the assessors of the controls discovered that a reported control was not in operation or effective during the time of review. A yellow would be that a TLD operator was self-assessing that a control was in place. A half green would be that a qualified assessor group came in and noted that a control was in place at a point in time. And a full green, so the really good one, would be that a qualified assessor group came in and recognized that a control was in place for a period of time. So that's sort of the grading draft that we currently have out there. That's, here we have the sort of the, what I was saying, sort of in the different grading models. So again, if you wanted to look at it, you can sort of see what they are. The publication of participating TLDs provides a method for public advertisement and assertion of controls for the participating TLDs. Value is established through community understanding and acknowledgement of participating TLDs. Publication could occur on individual sites and systems within a participating TLD. It could be integrated into a centralized dashboard. So one of the concepts the AG was talking about is, for instance, if the authoritative source of the publication of the TLDs was ICANN. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but if it was, you know, maybe on ICANN's site there'd be some kind of cool little metric that could be integrated into the dashboards up there that could say, here are the TLDs that are HS TLD compliant, you know, versus ones that are not, you know, statistical breakdowns and so forth. It would be really nifty. Authenticity of certification or report card could be validated using a centralized system of record, and we talked a little bit about that earlier. So the next steps for our program are to, you know, today we're discussing the concept paper and the development snapshot. Our next steps are to continue to develop the principles, objectives, and criteria, to obtain feedback on the report card and certification models. In fact, I'm trying to put together some material on that right now this week for the wiki. To identify additional program components, some of the things that have come up are assessor requirements, marketing and awareness campaigns, and so forth. And to contribute an HSTLD option paper or some material to the community, we say to the next version of the applicant guidebook, really what it will probably be is sort of supplemental or sort of out there during the Brussels timeframe. And finally, sort of the HSTLD wiki page, that's it right there. So please have a look. That's our main HSTLD page. The wiki page is actually referenceable from that page. So please take a look. All of our material really is out there for public review and comment. We've got our weekly meeting calls up there. We've got our current content up there, our development snapshots, and so forth. So there's a wealth of information up there. And that's really sort of the program overview. What I'd like to do now, we've just about hit a half hour, which is my target for this dialogue. Are there any questions out there? Does anybody want to have a... Oh, I see Christina. You raised your hand. Very cool. Christina, what...
Hi. I have a bunch of questions. So, first off, thanks very much for being available to do this. This is really helpful. I guess the first question I would have is that one of the primary comments that I remember seeing when this concept was in the public comments that came in after this whole concept was first published was a call that it either be mandatory or that there be some incentive provided for applicants to participate. And I think at the time the URS proposal was out as not being mandatory, but if somebody did it, if a GTLD applicant put in their application that they were going to participate, that they would get an extra point. What is the status of those suggestions? Because I don't seem to recall that they've really been addressed in this most recent development snapshot.
Okay, so I can answer those two directly. The current status is that it's a voluntary-based program. In fact, the advisory group has been... We haven't sort of set that decision in stone, so be aware that all of our activities are still in development, but there is a high degree of concern that this be a voluntary-based program. And I think, you know, Mike and John, if I'm not sort of answering that accurately, please, you know, feel free to jump in and help me. But really, I think everyone's really focused on a voluntary program. On the subject of how does it impact scoring on an application, right now it does not. And that's also been sort of a direction from ICANN staff that basically says this program itself exists as a supporting program to the overall effort, but not as a component, a direct component of the effort.
But how does that make sense if dealing with malicious conduct is one of the overarching issues identified in the GTLD program? Or maybe you're not the person to have this conversation with.
Yeah, I mean,
and put in Christine, this is Mike Palage.
Michael,
I myself,
please call me Christina. We've known each other for years. It's getting on my nerves. Thank you.
Christina.
Sorry.
I raised that same question with ICANN staff. Since specifically I've asked Greg Grabtree regarding why this could not be decoupled from the DAG since it's purely voluntary. That was one of my original questions when there was pressure about this. So I totally agree with your question, but have not been provided any feedback from ICANN staff.
Okay.
In addition, so.
Yeah, Chris, and I do apologize. I mean, I'm sort of I'm a supporting role. So I hate to sort of sidestep a question, but I really have to on this one because I just don't know.
No, that's fine. And if Greg is the right person to direct that question to, you know, that's helpful to know. The next question I had was on the report card, and maybe I'm still kind of mentally somewhat on vacation, but what I wasn't clear on based on your description is, and I wasn't entirely sure based on the document itself, is under this report card scheme, is it going to be the participating registry operators themselves that are going to grade themselves? And what's the check on preventing everybody from just giving themselves full greens?
So we are totally talking about that right now, and the current thinking is that to achieve, for instance, a green, mm-hmm. you'd need to have a qualified assessor come in and mm-hmm. do the assessment roles. And I think mechanically, and again, we're working through this now, so it's not like we've decided at all, mm-hmm. but mechanically, if a TLD was to sort of self-assess a green, mm-hmm. I think we should include sort of the assessor report with that request or that report card. Again, I'm literally sort of working through the thought on that with the AG. In fact, our last couple of calls have been about some of these topics.
Mm-hmm.
But I think mechanically, if you'd want to really give that green a value, you'd want to look at techniques to do this, like give us the assessor report when you're giving us the report card, right? So that have a little bit of value. Now the other one, that begs the question: what are the qualities of the assessor, right? That's another topic that we're sort of working through with the AG now. So, what does it take to be an assessor group of this program? And there are some draft thoughts out there, not on paper yet, but we are working through them.
All right, and one last question, because I know Steve also has some questions, is the idea, and I guess I'm not clear on this, is the idea that the report card concept and the certification seal type concept are both going to be kind of developed in parallel, and then ultimately they'll both be put out in full fleshed out form for public comment, and then kind of whatever everybody likes the best is what will happen? Or I'm not really clear on, you know, or are we now instead moving away from the seal and towards the report card, and that's the mechanism that's going to be pursued from this point on?
What we have before us, and that's a great question, what we have before us is options without specific answer yet. And I think the way that's going to go, we haven't really solidified this yet, but I believe the way it's going to go, Mike, jump in here if I'm off base, but we're going to get some options, put them in a development snapshot release, so get them on paper for public comment. And then review the public comment and try to pick the option that seems to be the most desirable with some mechanism. Right? We're not there yet, Christina, so that's a great question, and it's before us in terms of tasks to accomplish. But I wouldn't want to classify that either of those options is front runner or not. I think that would be bad, right? Because if you look at it, there's really sort of those two options. And then there might even be a third option where you say, you know, maybe we start with a report card type concept, and then 2-3 years from now or some period of time from now in the future, you follow up with an additional certification option, right? Mm-hmm. Certainly I could see some model that would be effective with that path as well. So be aware that there really are a whole lot of these things that are out there. We're just trying to figure out sort of what's the best way to describe the options and to get them out there for people to review.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Christina. And I see, Steve, I'm going to try to work this thing here. Approve. Did I do that right? All right. Steve, you're up.
Thank you. I just want to second what Christina said about the strong feeling that there should be mandatory higher standards rather than a voluntary one that there's no incentive to join. But I understand that that's not really an issue for this AG to deal with, and we have to take that somewhere else within ICANN. So my question, though, was about how detailed or how prescriptive do you see these criteria being? I mean, I see on the last several pages of the snapshot document, there's a long list of possible criteria topics. There's
yes.
you know, a rapid suspension process. There's a definition of malicious use. There's registrar authenticating new registrants through agreed processes.
how and when, at what point in the process does some meat get put on those bones, or does some of this fall out of the list? When I see here a long list of things, some of which, you know, might be great things to have, but I don't have a sense of whether they're there as the result of a brainstorming session and basically everything everybody came up with is on the list, whether these have been vetted at all, whether they're going to be narrowed further, and at what point are they going to be detailed so that, for example, with a rapid domain suspension process, we know what it applies to and how fast it happens and how it works.
Steve, that is a fantastic question. I'm very excited to answer that, because so what you've got in front of you is the last snapshot release, and what's up on our wiki now is the next level down on the controls. So we actually have the controls, and it's obviously a much longer list because there are, you know, multiple controls potentially for each of the areas. But up on the wiki, there's I believe it's called the control draft work page. But there is a direct link where you can see our most recent development around those controls. So how are they coming about? Practically, members are coming up with, here are the controls, the objectives and controls that we should put out there, and we are discussing them within the AG. Most recently, there's been some discussion about getting a focus group together to really look at the controls and sort of micro-focus on them. And Mike and I have had a couple of conversations about that. But the current program is to get them out there on the wiki. Obviously, the wiki is available for everyone to look at. And the AG is really using that current draft to look at the controls and to discuss them. So please have a look up there. Our next development snapshot should actually include that structure, because it's a significant development activity we've done since the last one.
And that, again, is going to come out before the Brussels meeting. Is that the time frame
you're talking about? Actually, what we're trying to do, so we're trying to get the comments by the 8th for this current development snapshot, and then what we'd like to do is take those comments and the current wiki material to create our next development snapshot in the next week or so. So there'd be one at that time frame, and then hopefully maybe one more for Brussels. But again, you know, we go as fast as we can go. I guess that's the way I'll put that one. We're all trying to run as fast as we can, and there's a lot of content and material to look at.
So the next snapshot might come out as early as later this month.
Yes.
Okay. I have to say, on terms of, I'm not sure what you're going to get on comments on this snapshot. I mean, I think it's more likely you will get. I'm not sure you're going to get very much on these specifics, because there's just so many here, and it doesn't seem that useful to say, gee, we like these three words. They conjure up some nice images in our mind about rapid domain suspension process. It probably makes more sense to wait until we can look at what you've talked about on the wiki, and then we can see in a little more detail, I guess, whether this is really something that we like or don't like.
That'd be great. Right. I think that's a great way to approach it, actually. I mean, the real meat is in that sort of list that's on the wiki now.
Okay.
And it was a fairly large development effort to get all that pulled together, as you might imagine. So we got all that. Go ahead. Sorry.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah. So we got all that pulled together, and now we're sort of, you know, moving on to some of the other important areas, but we'll get that published for the next piece.
Great.
Christina, I see your Steve, was that can I move to Christina again?
Yes, please. Thank
all
you.
Right.
Thanks. I guess my comment is about this, you know, publishing these development snapshots on these monthly bases, which I think on the one hand is very helpful, but as someone who is having an extraordinarily difficult time keeping up with all the public comment periods that are going on anyway, I guess I would just request that if you are going to continue to do that, that there still be kind of a full, broad opportunity for quote-unquote public comment, simply because I think it really is just too difficult for folks in the ICANN community, and I think particularly among, you know, some of the folks on this call and the groups that we work with, to would be able to say, okay, you know, it's day 30, there's a new development snapshot, our comments are due in 15 days or whatever it is.
Christina, I should have been more clear about this. The development snapshots and the public comment periods aren't necessarily linked.
All right.
So I actually haven't gone there, and in fact, I probably should talk about this with the co-chairs before I even get into it, but I can foresee, for instance, development snapshots that only make it up to the wiki, just to make it easier for people that are looking at key to look at sort of the, you know, a snapshot that has everything in it, as opposed to clicking on multiple links within the wiki.
Got it. Okay.
I can see that, and then the public comments, you know, at some point, one of the development snapshots that's most recent to the public comments dates would likely then help us with the public comments, but I don't necessarily think that those processes need to be linked. Mike,
okay.
I don't know if you've got. I'm sorry to put you on the stand on this one.
I would agree with that. So the snapshots are just there to sort of provide a benchmark of where we're going, and this was sort of a compromise of the group, Christina, in connection with artificial timelines and stuff like that. So we said, look, we're going to go forward, and you know, instead of coming up with artificial timelines that may or may not be met, we as a group would, you know, once a month say, this is where we're at, and, you know, show that progress has been made. But again, nothing, as John could say, you know, nothing is written in stone, and there's sometimes every third meeting where we tend to take a step back and reevaluate stuff before going forward again. I don't think, from that standpoint, I don't think that failure to comment on a snapshot would adversely impact the IPC's ability to protect its interest before any final recommendations are made.
Very helpful. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Very well stated. Much better than I did. Do we have any more questions? I don't see any hands raised.
Andy, this is Claudia.
Hey, Claudia.
I also tended to agree with some of the prior comments about the sort of voluntary versus mandatory nature of this. And I was wondering sort of just how this group was initially formed. Was it the staff that put it together? Because I see it's set up as an advisory group, and that term is not something I always run across. And so I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about how the scope of this group was sort of developed, if there's a charter, or just sort of that high-level description of the genesis of this effort.
I could talk a little bit about it, Claudia, but I wasn't a part of the decision-making. So this may not be completely accurate information. What I would do on sort of the background of the formation of the group is reach out to Greg Rattray. But the thought was that this was really a group to focus on building out and answering that goal question. You know, is it a viable program? And let's focus on building out the components of the program more than the some of the policy stuff, you know, whether it should be voluntary or mandatory and all that kind of stuff. That's sort of perhaps a question for more policy-centric exercises. But again, I don't want to misrepresent things. I'm concerned that if I say that, you know, it's not the right answer. My focus really is, as a member of the AG, and to help facilitate ICANN staff, and to really help look at the program components and content. Mike, does that sound accurate from your seat?
I would agree, and Claudio, that was one of the first questions I actually asked as well. The advisory group was a new lexicon added to the ICANN vernacular. All I could say is that as a co-chair, we have generally conducted our business like a working group. So that's why we have a publicly archived mailing list. The wiki is publicly available. All of our recordings are MP3 recorded. Regarding the charter of how we came into existence, it was basically the paper that I believe Andy originally drafted and was put out and said, would anybody like to participate? And that's how myself and the other sort of team members found ourselves sort of linked together. So that is, I guess that's about all I could say from sort of a historical standpoint. It is a unique creature, but what I've generally done is just treat it like a working group from my standpoint as far as process and documentation. And, again, I'm operating on the principles set forth in the affirmation of commitments of how we need to go through fact-based decision and analysis in any final work product that the group produces.
Right. Thank you. That's very helpful. Thanks, Mike, and thanks, Andy. I mean, it's sort of, I guess, Andy, a little bit when you touched on the program components and developing those, and I guess that was somewhat of an issue I thought that could be related to whether this is going to be just an optional thing or not, and what, so, you know, what those program components might be could be influenced by the just the nature of this, whether it's just going to be completely voluntary or not. So I'm thinking there might be a correlation there with the substance and sort of that separate issue of whether this is going to be a required feature or not. But thanks.
I kind of see that as a multiple level sort of response too, right? So there's a question of is the whole program voluntary or mandatory? And then there's sort of a sub-question of, well, are some of the controls that the program is coming up with voluntary or mandatory? So one is the assumption that all of the controls are voluntary and mandatory, and the other is the assumption that not all the controls are voluntary, are mandatory rather, but some are, right? So it's sort of a multi-level kind of, you know, kind of thing to look at, I guess is my point. And I see the program itself sort of helping to feed some of those decisions that may be part of other groups. You know, we're coming up with a control structure that's sort of community vetted, and you know, it's fairly comprehensive, and it could be raw material that feeds, you know, the other groups that are looking at, you know, mandatory and voluntary types of control structures. Hope that makes sense.
That does. Thank you.
Anyone else? All right, I don't have any questions. We're coming up just on the hour now, which is about what we thought. I think, Claudia, we said probably somewhere about 45 minutes or so, and that's about what we've hit, so we're right on time. If no one else has any questions, I'll thank everybody for their participation. I know we lost a few at the end here, but certainly thank everybody for coming in. I would encourage everyone to look at the wiki and our snapshots and help us with comments. The more we get, I think the higher quality and deliverables we'll be able to produce. So thanks again, everybody. Thanks again, Mike, for coming in with co-chair comments, and John for participating from a working group perspective. And goodbye.
Excellent. Thanks, Andy.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.